Okay, so tonight's daf is sponsored by Arthur Kirsch on the occasion of the yahrzeit of Phyllis's father, Chaim Alter ben Reuven, Zichron Lebracha. Okay, so the learning is L'Gilui Nishmato. So as I said, we're on daf Lamed Hey. Let's just refresh our recollection from yesterday's daf a little bit. So the Mishnah on Lamed Dalet, Amud Aleph, had said that there are Shlosh Minim Asurim B'Nazir. There are three different elements that a Nazir has prohibitions. That's Tuma, Vatiglachad, Vayotzim, and Agefen. Tuma, he can't, become Tame, can't become ritually impure by contact with dead people. Tiglachad can't cut his hair. And Yotzim and Agefen, he can't have anything that comes from the vine. And then the Mishnah also said that it quoted the opinion of, let me get it down here, Reb Lazar ben Azariah. Reb Lazar ben Azariah says, Ein Chayavat, this is on the sixth line on Lamed Dalet Beis, Ein Chayavat Shuchal Shnei Chartzanim Bizad, that a Nazir is not Chayav till he eats two Chartzanim, which Reb Lazar ben Azariah learns, like the Tana Reb Yossi, that's the way Reb Kahati explained it, it's the Chartzanim he takes of the pits. He eats two pits, and a Zag is the peel. So the that's the way that comes out. All right. So then the Gemara says that the Mishnah says Yotzim and Agefen, that which produced by the vine that Nazir is chayav for, but Gefen Atzmo lo. But if he eats the vine itself, then he's not chayav for anything. So we'll see in a minute. So the Gemara says that our Mishnah does not follow the Tana Reb Lazar. Reb Lazar is Reb Lazar ben Shamua. So Reb Lazar says, "Afilu alin v'lulavin b'mishma." According to the Tan Reb Lazar, the prohibition for nazir even relates to the leaves of the vine and then the Gemara says, but the Chan hold. In other words, anything that's yotzeim in a gefen, anything that's produced by the vine, but not the alin and not the lulavin. So the Gemara says, what's the point of dispute? So the Gemara says, Reb Lazar darshan's ribui and miut, acham darshan klal and prat. And we've had this before. There are different methods, hermeneutic principles. So Reb Lazar now he darshan's ribui and miut, but it's not only Reb and Miut, but he only has two terms as opposed to the Chachamim who darshan three terms. So what are the two terms? So Reb Lazar darshan's Miyayin v'Shechar Yazir, that he should, separate himself from Yayin is like the freshly, the newly crushed wine, and Shechar is the older wine. So that's a Prad, and that's a Miut. It's Miut. And then Mikol HaShayyasem HaGepen Yayin, anything that's from the vine, that's a Ribui. So miut bariba, riba hakol. So with a miut, like the way I think they call it in our school language, it's a limitation and an amplification. So normally we begin with the ribui, miut, and ribui. Here, though, we have a miut and then a ribui. So a miut and then a ribui. So miut and then a ribui. So it's like you're, like the faucet is like partially open, and now the faucet is turned full. Right, full force. So everything that relates to the vine is prohibited. So my riba komile, my miyat beit shabishta. So what's excluded? The only thing that's excluded, according to the Tana Reb Lazar, is the hard wood of the vine. But everything else is prohibited. Okay, that's the sheet of the Tana Reb Lazar. And then the Chachamim, they do klal and prat, but in this case, it's prat, klal, and prat. So they learn, in other words, again, so according to Reb Lazar, Mechartzanim Yadzag, he's darshaning out like Reb Lazar ben Azariah. So we think that the Tana Reb Lazar, that's Reb Lazar ben Shemua, and Reb Lazar ben Azariah, they're on the same page. So Mechartzanim Yadzag, for that they're darshaning out that if you're going to do the pit and the peel route, so then you have to have two pits and one peel. And that has a chumrah with it. In other words, your chayiv even is there's kula and a chumrah with that. I think that's the way the Rabbi Leibowitz was saying. The chumrah is that your chayiv, even if you have two pits and one peel, even though it's less than a kezias, so your chayiv as a nazir. The kula is that you can eat like as many, you can eat 100 chartzanim or 100 zagim, and you're still under the wire, the lechora. So, okay, so we'll see in a minute. Anyway, so again, let's just go over again. So the shita of Reb Lazar, and I'll join this with Reb Lazar ben Azariah, so they're both going to use, we think, the chartzanim v'yadzah, teach me one din, that the Nazir is only chayav, he has two pits and one peel. And then the rest of it's going to teach me the meat and the ribui is going to teach me any other part of the vine, he's going to be chayav for consuming any other part of the vine, even lulavim and alim and lulavim. Okay, then the chachamim, they learn klal, prat, or klal. In this case, it's prat, klal, and prat. And it's not so much of a difference between klal, prat, or klal, and prat, klal, and prat. We'll see in the Gemara today. So the prat, klal, and prat, so it's going to be the first term is going to be miyayin v'shechar yazir. That'll be the prat. And then, let me see, this is him. He says, then he says, mikosher yisem migefna yayin, that's klal, and then mecharzin miyazag is chazar prat. So prat, klal prat, so the kena prama, prat mefosh pri, psolid pri, it's going to be like fruit, like the grape, and psolid pri, like the waste of the pri. So it means it's going to darshan out that even like the unripe grapes and even the wormy grapes, those are also included in the proscription. Okay? So that's basically where we're at. Okay, now, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? All right, let me go on. So now let's go to Laman Hayaman Aleph, the top line. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Ulurab Lazim and Azaria, the Kamukim Lahaim and Chartzinim Yadzag, Lamar Shenu Chayav Shulchal Shnei Chartzanim Zag." So, according to Tana Rab Lazim and Azaria, and Rab Lazim and Azaria, we had in the Mishnah, he says that I'm using Chartzinim Yadzag to teach me that the Nazir is not Chayav unless he eats two. The way he darshens it out, two pits and one peel. So prat minale. So where does he learn his last prat? In other words, we said that Reb Lazar holds like Reb Lazar Azariah, but what does Reb Lazar ben Azariah hold? Does Reb Lazar ben Azariah, if he goes like the Chachamim, what does he do with that last term? In other words, the Chachamim have three terms. The last term in the sandwich, you have prat, klal, and prat. Right. The last prat is minchartz and yadzak. So what does he do with the last prat? So the Gemara says Sabar like Reb Lazar darish miyad briba. So the Gemara says he, Reb Lazar ben Azariah, will hold like the Tana Reb Lazar, which is Reb Lazar ben Shemua, that's Doresh the Miyat and the Ribui, just the Miyat and Ribui, and Karsin Miyazak teach me something else, which we did already. But the Gemara says, or else I could say no. Reb Lazar ben Azariah really agrees with the Chachami. The Isak Adaita Kida Amar Reb Lazar ben Azariah, if you would think that Mecharzanim Yadzag is only coming to teach me that which Reb Lazar ben Azariah said, which is two pits and a peel. So why does the Torah not list it with the Pratim? Meaning, the Torah should say, Miyayin v'shechar, Yazir, Mecharzanim Yadzag Yazir. In other words, we should list all the Pratim together. Why does the Torah take these pratim? In other words, we have certain specifications or limitations or specifications in the pasuk. Why is it spread out? Why do you have like a prat and then a klal and then a prat? Why not prat, 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 and then a klal? If it's just coming to teach me the din that we said, shma mina umidayne beklal uprat. So that's teaching me that it's that in achinami. In other words, the Torah is saying that mecharzanim yadzag from the juxtaposition mecharzanim yadzag, that it's also serving the purpose of prat, klal, and prat. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, Ve'ema kula hachi hudaata. So if that's the case, maybe that's the sole reason why it's there. In other words, we're doubling over on the limud mecharzanim yadzag. We're saying mecharzanim yadzag is going to be part of the prat, klal, and prat. And it's also going to teach me the special limud that, two pits and one skin, right? So why don't I say that the whole thing is just coming to form like the sandwich? In other words, the prat, klal, and prat, and scrap that whole limud that Reb Lazar ben Azariah says in the Mishnah with the two pits and the skin. So the Gemara says, im kain lichtov oshnei chartzanim, Oshnei Zagim. If the purpose of the Torah enlisting Chartzinim Miyadzag was just to form, you know, the last prat in the limud, so the Torah could just say, you know, two chartzanim or two zagim, or chartzan v'zag, both plural or both singular. Why does the Torah write me chartzanim yadzag? Why are chartzanim in the plural? Why is zag in the singular? In other words, to serve as part of the klal prat. So let's just go over again, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. So so we mentioned that there's a machloket between the Tana Reb Lazar, that's Reb Lazar ben Shemua, and the Chachamim, had a darshan, the psukim by the Nazir. So Reb Lazar ben Shemua learns a miyat and ribui. So miyat and ribui, I have a limitation and then an amplification. So the limitation is miyayin v'shechar yazir. You should stay away from the newly pressed wine and the old wine. That's the specification. And then limitation. And then the amplification is that it says mikol she'yasemi gefnei yayin, anything that comes from the vine. So with a miyat and a ribui, so my riba of course, anything that's connected with this vine is included. So the Gemara learns that according to the Tana Reb Lazar, everything connected with the vine, even the alim and lulavim, shoots and the leaves, are prohibited. The Nazir, you know, would violate the Torah if he consumes the leaves or he consumes the shoots. And it's going to come out the soft leaves, and we can say the soft shoots also. But the thing that's out of the Parsha is the Shabishta. Shabishta is the hard wood of the vine. I don't think anybody's eaten the hard wood anyway, but the hard wood is not included. And then... If you could figure a way to eat it, you could even not chayv, you would eat the wood, the hard wood. Anyway, but then the term... is left out because he, the Tana Reb Lazar, can darshan that the way the Tana Reb Lazar and Azari darshans it. Teach me that the Nazir is Chayev if he has two pits and a peel. Okay, that's the Shita of Reb Lazar with a little bit of Reb Lazar and Azariah. Then we said the Chachamim, though, they don't learn the Shtikl Torah or the Chora. They don't learn like Reb Lazar and Azariah. They learn Prat, Klal, and Prat. So the Prat is Prat is miyayin v'shechar yazir. So this is going to be a limitation or a specification. The specification, so miyayin v'shechar yazir, he should stay away from the fresh wine and the old wine. And then mikol she'yaseh migef miyayin is the klal. And then mecharsinim yadzag from the pits and the peels, so it's machloka, which is the pits and which is the peels, that's the prat. So klal, prat, so it has to be like Ke'en HaPrat. So the Gemara learns anything connected with the fruit of the vine, even the psolet peirot, the psolet pri, which would be the unripe grape and the wormy grape. So the Nazir would be chayav for those. Okay, that's the basic machloket. Then we said, according to the Tana Reb Lazar Azariah, he uses mecharten miyadzag. So what does he need this last term for the prat, klal, and prat? So the Gemara says first, he maybe holds like Reb Lazar, so no problem, no harm, no foul. Or the Gemara says, no, he maybe holds like the Chachamim, but he doubles over. He says the same term that can serve the purpose of being the last prat in the limud will also, you know, serve the purpose of teaching Mechars and Miyazag, because the Torah could have just said, why didn't the Torah put Mechars and Miyazag with the other prat? Why should I put it at the end? So it's a great prat. Klal Prat. But then why did the Torah, but maybe it's just coming for that purpose. So then why did the Torah write Mechart Sanim V'Yadzag? Why is one plural, one is singular? So why can it say Mechart Sanim V'Yadzagim or Mechart San V'Yadzag, all plural or all singular? So when one is plural and one is singular, so the Torah, he could double over on it. Okay? Who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far? Everybody good? Everybody happy? All right. Ruth, what's up? You're waving. You have a question, Ruth? You're good. I can't hear a word you're saying, but I you're waving. I assume you're happy.
Okay. You have to unmute yourself. Just happy.
Ruth? All right. Ruth, if you're happy, lift a thumb up.
You asked, so yes.
Yeah, what's up?
Nothing is up. You asked everybody happy.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Let's go further.
Rabbi Goldstein, there was a question about what's a zag and what's a chartan. They're not bringing out the machloket here.
Right. So the Mishnah mentioned the machloket. The Mishnah in yesterday's staff mentioned it. So we said, though, that the Tana Reb Lazar, at least according to Rav Kahati, holds like Rav Yossi. And Rav Yossi holds that the chartan is the pit and the zag is the peel. All right? All right, let's see further in the Gemara. Now, Okay, so let's go back on the Gemara. So the Gemara says, so again, the first word in line, now the Gemara says, Reb Lazar darish mi beriba prada kol prad menalei. So the Tana Reb Lazar, we mentioned in yesterday's stuff, but we went over it again today. Tana Reb Lazar, he learns the mi ribui. Where does he know, or where do we see that he learns prad of klal prad? That seems kind of strange. Let's see Tosfos. Let's see Tosfos. One second. One, two, three, four, five. The fifth Tosfos, the few lines above where it gets very wide. Reb Lazar, darish ribo miyad prad of klal prad manale. Bim Tomar, Tosfos says, itimulaitle hamida shamako. Maybe he doesn't hold from, why does the Gemara assume that he holds klal? Because he have two different klalim, ribu and miyad ribu and klal par klal. Maybe he doesn't hold from klal par klal b'klal. He says, ki hechi d'rabban lo darshi miyad ribu. Just like some don't hold from ribu and miyad, he doesn't hold from klal par klal. V'yesh lomar, first white line, v'yesh lomar, im kein, habar leilach lok, b'chol makom shana darshim b'klal par klal, marabina mehu ribu kein haprat, k'mo krad b'chi yitain d'v'samach. So if that's the case, I would expect the Tana Reb Lazar to disagree elsewhere in Shas when the Chachamim learn klal prado klal. So he should weigh in and say, I don't come up to the same results as you do. Lechora, that's what I would think. He says, the Rabbanan darshi lay the klal prado klal, b'hazab b'bav nitzia, b'rot ke'ina prad, b'arshim taltel, b'gufo mamon, b'lot tishtar b'karkot v'abanim. So the Gemara is going to have a pasuk that we're going to quote in a few lines that deals with the Shomer Sachar, and the Gemara is going to learn certain dinim about the Shomer Sachar, but it does not apply to, you know, Shtarot, Karkaut, and Avadim. He says, V'lo masinu sh'Reb Lazar cholek al migdiro lalu. We don't see that he disagrees with that. Meriba yoter miribu miyot, and then he's got more included because he's doing a reboot in miyot, so more should be included in it. Ela gam humoda. He's moda that in you don't take a shua for karka or avadim, the arvadim of hukshu the karkaot and shtaro. Umshimahachi, she's led the Gemara, keep my komshan dorshim klal protoklal. So the Gemara takes it as a given that where the chachamim darshim klal protoklal, it grows who prat uklalu prat, imichola peel klal harishon. So the Gemara wants to say that the Tana Reb Lazar, where we learn klal prat klal, in other words, the Tana Reb Lazar holds from the prat klal prat he holds from. So if we're learning klal prat and klal, he'll find a way, if he can find a way, where he'll disregard the first klal and then come up with a prat klal and prat. He says, v'imeinu yachol, azor shol b'riba u'miyad riba. Otherwise, he'll do ribu u'miyad riba. So it's a little kind of fancy. So Tosfos wants to say that in general, he does ribui mi and ribui, but if he could find a way to do a prat klal prat, that he would do. He says, shakaki bel amidot, hudoresh prat klal prat, marba kina prat. So if he's doing prat klal prat, he'll end up with basically the same result as the chachamim, the rabbanim, the klal prat klal. The rabbanim can defarish b'sama. Okay, that's one answer Tosfos has, but naniach, the Gemara takes it that the Tana Reb Lazar will, on some level, hold from Prat Klal and Prat. So let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says this is around 15 lines from the bottom, midway down the column. Reb Lazar the Darsh Miyat Bereba Prat Klal Prat Menale, or where do we see that he darshens Prat Klal and Prat? Amri Bao Nafkalei Mihaikra. So he's going to learn the following pasuk, And doesn't hurt to have the chumashim open. And we have if you have your fancy artful chumash, and we have them right here. So let me see. And people in the Zoom world, if you have an artful chumash, it's good. Otherwise, it's Shmot Perakot Beis. That's good. Okay, so Yosef says it's Pasuk Teh. So page 428 in the Art Scroll Chumash, that is. So it says, let's read the Pasuk inside in Chumash. So it says, Hitain Isharei Uchamor Osho Sevachobay Malishmor, Umeid Onishbar Onishbay in Ruem. If a person gives an animal, a chamor, a shor, or a se, a donkey, an ox, or a sheep, or Bechobay Mar, any animal, a shor, Umeid Onishbar Onishbay in Ruem, so he's a shomer sakar, and so if something happens to the chefza, he's got to take a shvua, like that he didn't misuse it, he didn't use it for his own purposes or something like that. He says, and then he's high up for certain things. So let's see back in the Gemara. He says, "V'chitain nafkalei mihaikra, v'chitain isha reu chamor o shor o se." So a person gives to B chamor oshor oseh. That's a prat specification. Then bechol behima or any animal plow. Now lishmor chazar prat. That's a little harder. Lishmor chazar prat. Now someone to say that the chol is the plow and behima lishmor is the prat. That's the way Rabbi Leibowitz was saying it. Let me take a look. In other words, he's saying that, in other words, you could be a shomer sachar on anything. I gave you a diamond ring to be a shomer sachar on. In other words, vis-a-vis dine shmira, so behema could be a prat. In other words, I could guard anything for you. I could guard your bicycle. I could guard your diamond ring. I could guard. Yeah. So those could be pratim. Then. V'chol, I think you're saying v'chol can mean anything, and then behema, or the way we have it, kol behema klal, lishmor is chazor prat. Let me see Tosfos, 1 second. Right, v'chol klal, mashu kol devar, behema, lishmor, chazor prat. So the way Tosfos takes it, if you look at the Tosfos, v'chi tenisha reyehu, the Tosfos says, the word v'chol is the klal, and then the mashmal kol davar. That sounds like anything. And then behema lishmor chazor prat. So that's the way Tosfos takes it. Okay? So either way, nania, that we have a prat, klal, or prat. So he says, chazor prat, prat or klal prat, yet it's done on kina prat. So you have to judge kina prat. Now, kina prat, so Tosfos, it's the Gemara Bava Metzia, but we had this on the second line in Tosfos. He says, "Lerbokin a prat, the varsh metaltel begufo mamon." So you're only going to take the shvua for something which is davarsh metaltel, something which is movable, begufo mamon, meaning itself is worth money. Ulotzi shtarot, like a star, IOU note, that's not gufo mamon. The karkaot is not davar metaltel, and abadim are hukshu the karkaot. Right, that's correct. So anyway, so that's the prat klal prat. So the Gemara says now. We think that's something that Rabbi Lazar would hold from. Now, the next line of the Gemara is Rav Amar Nafle Mihaikra. The Rabbi says we learn it from this pasuk. Now, I think that Rav Leibowitz said that some Gersaos have that Rabbi Lazar does not hold from that first Prat Fal and Prat. I can't remember, but the Rava has from this Hesber. So Rava Mar, Nafkalemi Haikra. Now, this is a pasuk in the beginning of Vayikra. Let's go to Vayikra. Okay, so it's Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud. Let's take a look. So it's page, in the article, page 590. Wait, I'm sorry, I got the wrong place. I'm sorry, wrong page. I'm so sorry, I apologize. 1 second. It's page 546, it looks like. You get it? Yeah. So page 546, 2 lines from the bottom. So it's talking about bringing in a korban olah. V'im minatzon korbanom in hachsavim o minayizim la'olah, zachari tamim yakriven. So we'll see. Now, if a person brings from the tzon, from the flocks, the ksavim le'izim, the sheep or the goats, la'olah, zachari tamim yakriven. Let's see in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Rabba mar nachle mihai kroa. He says that the Tanur of Laza will darshan prat kal prat from this pasuk. V'im min prat. Min, from, not all of everything, it's a prat. Hatzon is the flocks, klal. Kibasim v'izim, kazaru prat. And the sheep and the goats are prat. Prat a klal a prat, yitzan al kena prat. So kena prat. Now, kena prat, the way the Rashi / Mefarish learns is that we're eliminating animals that were used for different aveirot. So let's say you had sodomy with the animal, or you know, he says, the Rashi says that none of appear. It was used like a payment for a zona, or muksa was designated for a bodozara. So those can't be korbanot. But the thing is, we're going to be marveh that if it's only keina prat, or when some things are included, some things not. So things not be included is if the animal, an aveira was done with the animal, let's say a certain type, they were not related to the animal itself, meaning if the animal was used to plow on Shabbos, or lo takarosh b'shor b'chamor yachdav, to plow together with a different species, you know, which is an aveira, but no aveira was done with this animal per se, it's just the animal, you know, in other words, like nobody had sex with the animal, something like that. So that animal would be kosher for a korban. That animal would be kosher, it's a korban. Let's take a look back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, 6 lines from the bottom, Amalei Rabbi Yehuda mi diskar to the Rava. Rabbi Yehuda mi diskar said to Rava, v'leilof min adein kra. Why can't we learn from this pasuk? And this will be the prat, vowel, prat. Now this pasuk is pasuk bay. So this is page 544. So pasuk bay says, Adam ki krimikem korban Hashem min habeiman min habacharam and atone akrivut korban chem. So let's see back in the Gemara. He says, v'leilof min adein kra. Min prat habehema klal. Now, the way that Rav Leibowitz was explaining it is habehema could also include chayas. In other words, behema can mean, like behema can mean definition one, domesticated animal, or definition two, behema can mean all animals, like wild and domesticated. So min is prat. So min, which would be saying, like, even though the second term is habehema, but not all of the behemoths would be included in the korban, just the behemoths. Habehema klal, bakar vatzon chazar prad. Prad klal prad, yetzdan alkina prad. So amarlei min haylek l'mishmamina. So he said, so this is Rav, who didn't mean discard, said to Rava. So Rava said, that's not a great limud. He says, you can't learn from that. Dimi hatam, if you'd be learning from those psukim, habamina, habahema, turn page, chaya b'chal behema. So I would say that you're right, a chaya is b'chal behema, but if I darsh now those psukim, so min should be teaching me that some behemas are allowed and some chayas are allowed. That's what I would think. In other words, min habahema. So min is a limitation on behema. Behema, we said, is behema and chayas. So min wouldn't be only behemas, min would be some behemas, some chayas, but that's not the case. So amarlei, so this is, Rabbi Yehuda Mitzkarta says, amarlei, chaya b'chal behema, how could you argue that chayas b'chal behema, haktiv bakar vatzon, b'avalei prad u'chal v'yantzon l'kina prad. In other words, he wants to say that the final prad is bakar vatzon. So the final prad is clear that it's not including any chayas in it. So he wants to say that even if I judge it with a prat, klal, and prat, it's not logical that I would judge it that some chayas are allowed. So in achinami, behema will include also chayas, but the prat, klal, and prat will leave me with a conclusion that it's only some of the behemas are allowed. In other words, some behemas, but even the behema which looks like a chaya, like there's a shor habar, like the wild ox, that's also kosher as a korban. Okay, now we're on line 3 on Mamon Ham Beis. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Umanalan dahachihu." So now the Gemara says, it seems like a strange question. If you look at the second Tosfos, Umanalan Dahahihu, Arabanan Koi, this relates back to the Chachamim. He says, the Dorshil El Klalu Pradu Klal, Umar Bekina Prad, we combine Minalan to meet a Zubatora. Where do we know this Mida, this hermeneutic principle, appears in the Torah? And the Midrash came up prior to Tanya, Ben Athak Kesef, Lokayam of Lazar, Du Darishle, Rish Perak, Homa Arbin, Bereba, Umiya Bereba. The only thing which is strange, Rabbi Leibowitz was saying, like, it seems a strange question. We have it like the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel, which is say every morning, you say, you know, like, Klal Proto Klal is one of the Mida of the Torah. But anyway, let's take it back on the Gemara.
It's not disputed that the Rabbi Shmuel, that's why
you say. Say again.
It's disputed this.
Well, you know, we said this, my cloak, whether you can do Klal, Proto Klal, or Ribui, mean Ribui. Right. But he's saying, where do we know that you can darshan Klal, Proto Klal from? Where do we. Yeah, well, that's Lakora, but it seems like a very strange question. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Humanalan dahakihu, Titani, we learn in the Braisa, Vinatha Kesef. Now, this is talking about Master Shani. You know that Master Shani, it's years 1 and 2, and years year 4 and 5. You know, the farmer brings his maaser to Yerushalayim and he eats it there. But if it's too much and Zichir Ba'aderech, then he converts it into money. He's poted the maaser Sheni, and then he brings the money to Yerushalayim. And then when he's there, he says, "V'natha kesef b'chol asher taben afshecha klal." So you'll take the money, buy anything you like, anything under the sun that you like. That's a klal. But bakar v'tzon v'yayin v'shechar, you'll have the bakar is the cattle, the tzon, the flocks, could be the sheep or the goats. Uva yayin, what I would say, the newly pressed wine, uva shechar, the older wine, prat, uva choshet shalchan of shechet, zar v'klal. So now he's going back to our standard, klal, prat, uklal, klal, prat, uklal, yotzan ukena prat. So it has to be similar to the prat, meaning, maha prat, beforesh, pre, mipri, vigidule karka, just like the prat is pre, mipri. Pre, mipri can mean animal or plant, but it means it reproduces, something that reproduces. He says, "Vigidule karka," and it grows off the ground. So things that grow from the ground are gidule karka. But even the animals, if you just gidule karka, they munch on the grass and things like that. He says, and the animals that we bring as korbanot are herbivores, right? Those are sheep and goats. I don't think sheep and goats eat meat, right? So it's, and the cow eats grass. So they're all herbivores. They're eating off the ground. Afkul primi pri vigidule karka. So the one that's excluded is the if you look at the next Tosfos, the third Tosfos. Ma prat meforish bakar b'tzon primi pri the behemot mitabro zumizu v'yoldot. In other words, one behemot, you know, is pregnant and gives birth. Vigidule karka shen gedilim ha'aretz me'esav ha'aretz, and the things that grow from the land, that grow from the ground, from the grass. Afkul So it includes even birds, so you could take the money and buy some poultry. But to exclude fish is not viewed as gidule karka, and mayim umelach is definitely not gidule karka. Right? So it has to be pre-mipri and gidule karka, and the mayim umelach is not pre-mipri. The Mayim Melech is not pre-mipri. So that's no good. According to Reb Lazar, you could even buy fish. Okay? So now, let's see back in the Gemara. No. Again, there's different ways of learning. So if I learn ribui, miat, ribui, I end up with more things included in the set. And so he ends up with more included. Includes also the fish. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Michtin, klal prato klal came prato dainina. So if I have a klal and prato klal, so the result will be kain haprats, like similar to the prat. Klal abatra mayahani. So what does the last klal help me for? In other words, so ahani lo sufe called the damilai. He says, now, means like this, the way klal prato is going to work, we've discussed this many times before. If I have the klal, it's like I say, like the faucet that's open, then the prat, I close the faucet much more. So klal prat like it's also one of the hermeneutic principles in the Seder. Right, right. Like Klal Prad, Yitzdan El Keina Prad. Klal Prad in the Kham. I need the Seder. Can you give me a Seder? I'm so sorry to bother you. Give me the Yitzchak Yari if you would. Yitzchak Yari, far right. You know, the all Hebrew Ashkenazi Seder. Yeah, that's right. There you go. There you go. I knew you could do it, Daniel. Daniel, I knew you could do it. Now, for the future, this time I think closer, though. Okay, I'll take care of it. Thank you. I got it.
What is it?
I think there's some Sidur that are closer as well. Okay, now. All right, you got it. Okay, so now let's just look at our hermeneutic principles. So we're up to Klal and Prad. So, he doesn't explain it so well here. 1 second, he says, Miklalu Prad. Yeah, so Miklalu Prad, but anyway, Klalu Prad means the Prad totally defines the Klal. That's basically what it comes out. So I just have a Klal and a Prad, so I'm totally limited to the Prad. So let's take a look back in the Gemara. Welcome. You here for Daf Yomi? Well, I'll tell you, there's a Gemara in the corner over there. We're going to set you up. All right. Here you go, John. Okay. All right. Yeah, let me show for our audience here who's here. Okay.
That was too fast. I couldn't see face.
Yeah, Jonathan, I like a little space. You know, sit over there. I'll move over one or else sit over there. One of those things. Okay, thank you. Very good. Okay, now. All right, now. So the Gemara says we're talking about different limudim, like different hermeneutic principles. So one of the, we've been talking at length about klal prado klal. So the Gemara says, it's back in the Gemara. So around the 10th line, vifti klal prado klal kein prata daininan. So we judge it like, in other words, so the result is similar to the prad. Klal batra mayahani. So how does the last klal help you? Ahani lo sufi called the damile. So it helps it that everything is similar to the prad. The two, prat uklal prad kein prat daininan. Now, in other words, we have klal prado klal, so the result is keina prat. I have prat klal prat, I'm also going to do keina prat. Two prat klal prat keina prat einina. Prata batra mayahani. What does the last prat help? Ila prata batra v'mina nasa klal mosif ala prat. So if not the last prat, I would say it was like everything is there. Right now the Gemara says umichti train klali prata. If I have two klalim in one prat, who train prati uklala, I have two prats in one klal, kain prata daininan. So in both instances, whether I have klal prato klal or a prat klal and prat, the end result is kain ha prat. So my ika beni beni. So what's the nafkamina whether I do one or the other? So ika, ilu tartin klala u prata, if I have klal prato klal, the ika prata didamile afilu bechadzad barbinan. So he says, if there's another item which is similar to it with the prat, with one characteristic, that's included. Tre prate uklala, by a prat, klal and prat, ika prate dami mishnei stada marbinan, b'chad tzad lo marbinan. Then we say it has to be more similar. It has to have two characteristics to match up with it. Okay? So that's the way we're going with this so far. That's correct. Yeah. Now, the only thing that didn't work out so well with this is we had this earlier in the Gemara with the Shomrim, right? We said, remember, that was the example where we had we had Prat, Klal, and Prat, right? So we said, Kitanish or Yehu, right? That was Prat, Klal, and Prat. So that should be similar.
Prat, Klal, and Prat.
Right. So Prat, Klal, and Prat, we said it has to be similar to the prat in two respects. So what did the Gemara say was similar over there? So the Gemara ended up saying that he says Kain haprat. He said the bar shemetal tail begufo mamo.
So it's not movable and it doesn't
have. Yeah, so that does seem to match up. But he asked the question today about. It does seem to match up. When the bar shemetal tail begufo mamo. Maybe it's the other one then. Wait a second. Then we had, maybe it's the next one. One second. Let's see. Let's look. Give me one second. Yeah. That was a key thing. No. Again, key tain, the chachamim would darshan that with klal prado klal, right? That was the first one. Key tain isha riehu, right? Key tain was klal, and then key tain was anything. Chamor osher osefrat, the chobe mal lishmor, klal. So parat, yeah. But I think it means like must be in according to Tosfos. That's what's coming out to him. Yeah, no, it means like this. According to the Tana of Lazar, he was going to learn that with a prat klal and prat, but the Chachamim were going to learn it with the way Tosfos understands it with a klal prat and klal. They're going to darshan the pasuk differently. That was what the question came up. All right, let me leave it. Okay, now let's see back in the Gemara. Now, Chatzal Lomar Binan. Okay, now the Gemara says, Mifti, Prat Klal, that's a Klal Mosaf ala Prat. If I have a Prat and a Klal, so the Klal like opens up the faucet all the way, Vitrabi Komile, Umiyat Bariba, Nami Riba Hakol, Vitrabi Komile. Now, so he's comparing the two methodologies. You know, I feel Bailey, you came in the middle of Jonathan, it's in the middle, but there's like taking words in the Chumash. Like you can have, you know, a generalization, a specification. So there's two methods of learning in the Gemara. One is Ribu and Miut, and one is Klal and Prat. So the Gemara is asking, what is the difference between both of them? So he says, let's say I have, if I have a Prat and a Klal, a specification, and then a generalization, so everything is included, even the kitchen sink. And if I have a miut and a ribui, which is everything's included, right? So my ikabe miut riba the prat klal. So what's the difference between both of those methods? Everything is included. Ika the ilu prat klal marbin afilu alin v'lulav. Now this is going to be problematical. He says if we do the prat klal, I'll include even if I just have the prat and the klal, I would include alin v'lulav. I would include leaves and shoots. If I would have a prat and a klal, I would include even alin lulavin. Well, that's what Tosfos is going to ask. He says, "Umiyat v'riba lulavin and alin lo." So let's take a look at the Tosfos. So we got it. So let's take a look at Tosfos around the 10th, very wide line of Tosfos. He's the last Tosfos. He says, "Tema ha'Rab Lazar darish miyat v'riba b'tchilat shmaita." So Reb Lazar, at the beginning of our sugya, he learned miut and a ribui, umar b'afilu alim. He included even leaves. Right. We went over it today. Okay. We started off with we had miyayin v'shechar yazir, and then mikosher yasemi gefen ayayin, that the nazir should abstain from the freshly crushed grapes and then the old wine. And then Mikosha Yasemi Gepna Yayin. So he said, the Tana Reb Lazar says that the Nazir is admonished even to stay away from Alin and Lulavin, even from the leaves and the shoots. And now we're saying, Luyatsur, we would learn that with a Prat and a Klal, but that would include, let me one second, that, I mean, we had a Prat, Klal, and Prat. But if we would do a Prat and a Klal, we said, that what he's saying here, that would include Alin Lulavin and Miat and Reba Lulavin and Alin Lo. So only Lulavin and not the Alin. So we learned that it was Alin Lulavin. So let's see Tosfos. This is Tema, Harab Lazadarish, Miat and Reba, but Chilash Maita, Marba, Filo Alin. So how could the Gemara say, if I do a Miat and a Ribui, so Alin are not included? In the beginning of the season, we said it was included. Yesh Lomar, Dela'el Mai Reba, Alin Rakin, Dumi Lulavin. Says early in the sugi, we were talking about soft leaves, which are similar to the shoots, which are also soft. Bahakamari, the kasha ktsad. Here we're talking about like the harder leaves. He says vidami ktsad l'shabishta. That's more similar to the woody part of the vine. So in other words, we said that Reb Lazar would assume the woody part of the vine that we said he would do with the soft. So the soft's included, but the woody part is excluded. So here we're talking about the harder ones. He says the
even the hard one.
Right. Wait. He's saying again, if we got to compare the same things, the same thing. So if I'm using two terms, if I would only be using two terms, so that I would have a miut and a ribui. So again, in the beginning of the sugya, we said that miut and ribui, so even the al and lavin are included. And now we're saying the two terms that the al and are not included. So his answer is, in the beginning of the sugya, we were talking about the soft leaves. Here we're talking about the hard leaves. And mela, the hard leaves is like the shabishta, like the woody par, which he says is not included. But with the prat and klal, we're saying that would include even more, that we're saying. We had a klal, prat, klal, but he's saying that we had a prat, klal, and prat, but he's saying that it would include more. That's a problem in and of itself. He says, in other words, normally, if I have the ribui and ribui, I end up with more things included, and the klal, prat, klal, less things included. Here, the Gemara is saying the opposite. In other words, with the klal, prat, klal, here is the prat, klal, but in other words, at the end of the day, the Gemara, when we compare the miut and the ribui and the prat and the klal, the Gemara is saying that with the hardwood, leaving away the soft things, so with the miut and the ribui, I'm left only with the lulavin, because the hard leaves not included. But with the prat and klal, I'm including even the hard leaves, according to Tosfos. That's what's coming out. But that doesn't work out so well. So that's Akasha. So he says over here, one second.
What's Akasha?
In other words, that when we, these hermeneutic principles, generally, ribui, mi, and ribui ends up with more at the end of the day than prat, klal, prat, and klal. In other words, you should have more things with ribui, mi, not less things. And here it's coming out that I have more with the...
And it's typically you have new ribui compared to mi, ribui, and mi. That's what I'm saying.
No. But here he's saying, the way I see it, he's saying, let's say we would only have two terms. Let's say we would only have a prat and a klal, and a miut and a ribui. So the Gemara says, so what's the difference between prat and klal and miut and ribui? So the Gemara says, with the prat and klal, more is included. With the miut and the ribui, less is included. So that's problematical, because that's not the way we normally say it works. So he says it here in the Arsko. I'll just read a little bit what the Arsko has to say, and then we'll do a little bit from the sheet, and then we'll be up tonight. He says, this is in footnote 617. He says, six lines from the bottom. What remains difficult, though, is that after Talmud, it appears the method of viewing general and specific statements in terms of ribui mute does in a wider application does quality prate. Here, however, the Gemara says that miut ribui includes only shoots but not leaves and is thus more restrictive than a prato klal. See resolutions, problem in Tosos, Rabbeinu Peretz, and Rabbeinu Todros. He says that I'm skipping a little bit. And then there's other people have different girsa, which is much easier. He says, according to this version, method of miut ribui results in a wider inclusion of both shoots and leaves, whereas prat and klal results in the inclusion of both leaves and shoots. That's the easiest method. So, in other words, there's another girsa that the ribui miut that includes the lulavim and the alim and lavim, that's the same as the beginning of the sugya, and the prat and klal, they're both excluded. That's easier. But all right, now let me just do a little bit from the sheets, and we'll take it here. Okay, let's all focus now. The Gemara expounds on the scriptural basis for the dispute between the Tanakam Mishnah, who says that eating size of grape skins or seeds is punishable by malchus, and Rav Lazman Azaria, who asserts that he's not subject to malchus unless he eats two pits and one skin. Tosfos on the Menhemet Aleph explains that according to Rav Lazman Azaria, the Nazir eats a kazayas of only grape skins, or a kazayas of only grape seeds is exempt from malchus. So, in other words, according to Rav Lazman Azaria, again, it's a kulan and chumar involved. Again, the Rav Lazman Azaria says, Jonathan, listening, let's say a person's a Nazir, he's not allowed to have grape products. According to the Tana Rav Lazman Azaria, let's say the Nazir is eating karsanim and zagim. So, it's machlok what karsanim and zagim are. One shot is the farsanim are the grape pits and the zagim are the skins. Let's say he only has the grape pits and the skins. So, according to Rav Lazman Azaria, if he says in order to be chayev with the grape skins and the pits, he has to have at least two pits and one skin. So according to Tana Rav Lazar, if he eats a kezias of only grape skins or a kezias of only grape seeds, he doesn't get malchus. That's a kula. So that works out a kula for him. He says he derives from the pasuk that a nazir is not sent to malchus eating grape seeds or skins unless he eats at least one grape skin together with at least two grape seeds. Accordingly, Rav Lazar Nazari is more lenient than Tana Kama, who exempts one who eats kezias of grape seeds or kezias of pure grape skins from malchus. Whereas the Tana Kama maintains that eating kezias of pure grape seeds is punishable with malchus. This is a simple reading of Rav Lazar Nazari in the Mishnah. He is not subject to malchus unless he eats two pits and one skin. The Rav, here means the Bar Tanura, if deciding above dispute writes, the halacha follows the Tana Kama, thus one who eats grape pits and skins is not subject to malchus unless he eats at least a kezias. So, the halacha, we're going to not pass him like Rav Lazar Nazari, we're going to pass him like the Tana Kama. So Mela, if you eat a kezias of it, then you'll be chayav. Now, the Tosfos Yontiv infers from the wording of the Rav that Rav Lazar ben Azari is more stringent than the Tana Kama. So we said that Rav Lazar ben Azari had a kula. He wants to say he's got a chumra. Whereas according to the Tana Kama, there was never malchus culpability for eating less than a kezias. According to Rav Lazar, if one eats two pits and one grape seed, he's subject to malchus even if the total bulk is less than a kezias. So he's got a kula and a chumra involved with this. So the kula is that according to Rav Lazar ben Azaria, I can spend the day eating grape seeds or grape skins. I won't be chayav unless I have two grape seeds and one skin. That's the kula. But the chumra is that if I have two grape seeds and one skin, even if it's less than kezias, now I'm chayav. That's the chumra. He says the Birkas Rosh points out that the Rav's comments, means the Bar Tanura, are based on the Yerushalmi, which explains that Rav Lazar ben Azari is of the opinion that two pits and the skin from the same grape comprise a birya, a complete entity. Now, birya is a concept in halacha that if you have a whole object, a whole creation, so it has a special chashivas. Like, you know, in other words, like a grape would be an example of that. You know,
birya bifneyatzma, right?
Or
it's like, not butzel.
Well, right. Let's say like a person eats an ant. So an ant is not kosher, so it's not a shir kezias, but I ate a whole ant, so now I'm chayav, because I'm chayav for birya. So here, the Birkas Rosh wants to imply, like, in other words, he says the Bar Tanura is based on Yerushalmi, but he says, that explains that Rav Lazar ben Azari holds that two pits of the skin comprise a birya. It's not exactly the same thing. As a rule, eating a birya, even a very small, is considered as significant as eating kezias. For example, eating a small insect is punishable by malchus, even smaller than a kezias, it's a complete birya. Therefore, according to Rav Lazar ben Azaria, when it's subject to malchus for eating the skin of the pits of the same grape, even if it doesn't equal a kezias. So, in other words, that's really just explaining his sheep a little bit better. But the only part that doesn't work out so well is birya is normally the whole object, and here he's missing like the juice and the flesh of the grape. But that's the way that comes out with the within the sheet of the of the Lazar ben Azaria. Okay, now two more minutes. Let me just do.
When they mention Hartzanim is that the mikut of Hartzanim is two,
right?
And Zag is one. This right. is the reason it comes up. Is
right? Right. Yeah. Now, all right. We'll just do a little piece here, and then I'll be it. Now, we mentioned about Master Shani, your quote of the Master Shani, so with money. So, a question frequently asked is whether one may send money from Mishloach on Yom Purim. After all, it may make people happier than sending them actual portions of food. You better know that people like tips like money, best of all. And why select what they may or may not like to eat? Why not just send money so they can purchase whatever they prefer? Pischei Sha'arim Zal, I first wish to say that one may do so based on Nazir Lamed Hay. So he wanted to say, money for Shalach Mano is not a bad idea. We find that one may transfer the holiness of Master Shani to coins used to purchase food in Yerushalayim. Why should the rabbinical Mishloach Mano be more stringent than the Torah law of Master Shani? So if the din of Master Shani, I have to eat the food in Yerushalayim, but I can take the food and put our money and then take the money and be converted into food. So why don't I say the same thing by Shalach Mano? So he says, but the truth is that Mishloach Mano needs to be food items only, as we find in many halachic sources. A similar question arose regarding giving music or clothes. Can I give food to the soul? Is the question. He says, the Rav asked, replied, you may not. This question is discussed in the Trumas Adeshan. Explains that this is implied in the Gemara regarding a Amoraim who switched meals to discharge themselves of their obligation to give Mishloach Mano. It's not me talking about the Gemara in Megillah on Daf Zayin of Beis. It says that Abayi bar Chanina and another chacham, two brothers, that they mechalpi sudatayu. Seemingly, mishloach manot is a food item. The Rambam also clearly learns this way, discussing mishloach manot was food items, but regarding matanos savioni, writes money or food. Clearly, one may discharge this obligation mishloach manot containing food items. Interestingly, the halachah k'tanos azal responded to a similar question differently than Trumas Adeshin. If he can sell the items immediately, he may discharge this obligation with other things besides food. So the halachah k'tanos is saying something which is immediately convertible into food is also, I could use for shalach manos, but the general halacha, we say you have to send food. Okay, anyway, we're learning tonight with the Lulu Neshama of Arthur Kirsch's father-in-law, Chaim Alter ben Reuven, Zechorno Levracha. All right, recording, one second.